Okay, we are in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, starting from verse 1.
Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things.
Okay, now here we see this man is the priest's son. Not only that, he is in charge, he's a chief governor of the house of the Lord. He's not an ordinary man. This is a great man, a priest's son, and he's supposed to do the Lord's thing. God has called him, and he is not ordinary, but the chief governor in the house of the Lord. Now, this man, he says he heard what the Jeremiah said. Now, what he said, do you know? We heard last week that Jeremiah was prophesying the famine will come, the sword will come, the sickness will come, and you will be eating your own children, and you will be eating your own friends. This thing, this chief governor of the house of the Lord heard it, and he got angry. Why is Jeremiah saying this? Jeremiah is supposed to say good things because all other prophets were saying soothsaying things, pleasing to other priests and pleasing to the king. But the Jeremiah was not paid by government to say whatever they want to hear. Today we see some people just want to please their bosses, even though they are not happy with them. But here, Jeremiah was not anybody's servant. He was the servant of God. He was called by God. I'm talking about Jeremiah. And God says, I have chosen you before you were born in your mother's womb. And Ephesians chapter 1, it says, we were in the heart of God and the mind of God before the foundation of the world was laid. So God knows everything about you. So God has chosen Jeremiah. And now this priest, let's read the words too. This priest is angry at Jeremiah.
Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormisabib.
When Jeremiah comes, he calls, okay, Jeremiah, bring the Jeremiah here. And now what you do, you take him to the, there are different gates to the temple. He takes him to go to the higher level of the temple. There is a Benjamin's and there is a gate and a house of God and put him there. And not ordinarily put his legs in the stock. Now, nowadays, they might be put a chain in your feet or something like that. But in those days, they will have a big log. And big log may be 8 feet long or 4 feet long. And they will take this big log and make holes. And then they will cut that log into half and then put their legs and then put that log and screw it in. So it's very heavy and you cannot move your legs, you cannot walk, you cannot go anywhere. And so that's the way he kept him. And I think when he kept him, God already told Jeremiah, I will take care of you. But Jeremiah thinking, why God allowed me to put him in a prison? I cannot move, I cannot walk around. And Jeremiah is angry at God. But God knew Jeremiah's heart. He did not allow Jeremiah to sit in there for years and years. So many people in the prison, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and some people die in the prison. But God did not allow Jeremiah to suffer long. So this man, next day he said, hey, bring the Jeremiah back to me. And so he called him back. So they might have gone there and released him and brought him back, and now he's standing before this man. His name is Pashur. Now the Jeremiah comes and tells him, you know what? Lord has already changed your name. Your name is Pashur, but now your name will be Magor Misbib. Somebody says a long name. What is the meaning of this name? He says, God has changed your name, and now your name's meaning is a terror. It will be terror to you and your friends and your family. You will be always having a fear and anxiety, and you will be looking for death. Death won't come. That's the kind of fear I'm going to put it in your heart. And that's the way Jeremiah starts. Verse 4.
For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and to take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies.
What's going to happen? Babylonian king with Nebuchadnezzar will come, and they will take everything, all your treasure. All the people work hard to make money or whatever, gold or silver. That will be taken. And your friends, your family will be taken. And when you go there, your enemy will take you, carry you to Babylon, and you will die there. Not only die, but they will bury you there. People do not like to bury in strange land. You remember Joseph told his people, I do not want to be in Egypt. Take my bones to the promised land. But Jeremiah is saying, you are going to see these things with your eyes. They are not going to slay you or kill you in Judah. You're going to see this with your eyes. You know, sometimes some people can shoot the enemy, and enemy can die within a split second. But if you want that person to be tormented, then you don't kill him right away. You torment that person and give him the life prison. Some people are saying, don't kill people, give them life prison. But the life prison is much more harder than killing them right away. But in America, life prison means luxury. But if you have the prison like a time of Jeremiah, they don't want to live one extra day. So here, God is telling through Jeremiah, what's going to happen to this priest? He is going to see all of these things. If somebody sees their children tormented, he cannot do anything. Their wife is taken away from them. They cannot do anything. And all these enemies terrorizing him, so he became terror for himself and his family and his friend. And finally he said, you'll go to the Babylon and you will die there. And you will bury there, and this is what's going to happen. Okay, verse 7.
O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily.
Now, Jeremiah here, he told the priest, what's going to happen to him? And he is boldly telling him, you are going to suffer and go to Babylon and all of these things. But at the same time, Jeremiah is not forgetting what God has done for him. God did not allow him to die. God took him out of the stock and watched him out. He gave him the courage to talk to the priest. But all of this he is saying, and now I think Jeremiah is a little bit more scared what's going to happen, because he prophesies against the king. The king will be defeated, and king will be going to a foreign land, and all of these things. He talked about priest, he talked about king, and now Jeremiah got fear in his heart. Something bad is going to happen. Not only they put me in a stock, they might kill me and they might destroy me. That's what the Jeremiah is thinking, and now he's blaming God. He's saying, God, you deceived me. And people are mocking, and the people are making fun of me, and you allow this thing happen. You're supposed to protect me. You're supposed to give me grace, and I should be what you said in earlier. You called me from my mother's womb. You put the word of God in my heart, and you said, do not be afraid of them, but if you do, then what happens to them will happen to you. So from this you know Jeremiah had a fear in his heart. What the word of God says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he has given you power, love, and sound mind. When you lose the sound mind, and when you don't focus on God, and you focus on your problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger. What the word of God says, magnify the Lord. When the problem comes, come to God and talk to God, pray to God, and God will give you the grace. But the Jeremiah made a mistake. When it comes to your body or comes to something to you personally, attack to you, people forget God. He's supposed to say, Lord, thank you for taking me out of this jail. And these people, they beat me up, but I'm not dead yet. I'm so thankful to you. We have to be thankful. Jeremiah forgot. This priest or king would have killed him, because he's using his mouth. Whatever God says, he's saying. He doesn't want to say, but he's saying it because God told him to say. And he's saying, now this thing happened to me, and now he is saying, God, you are in fault. You called me. You're supposed to protect me. You're supposed to make me like a strong brass or metal or iron. And nobody should do anything to me. God says, if you be afraid, if you don't tell, then you will have problem. Already God told him. He forgot that. You have to be strong, and you have to tell what God is telling you and not to be afraid of anybody. Jesus Christ said, they will kill your body. That's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. He said, they will kill your body, but they have no power to kill your soul. You should be not afraid of people. You should be afraid of God. Jeremiah was a little bit afraid of people. Okay, let's go back to book of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9.
Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of the forbearing, and I could not stay.
Now here it is saying, you know what? I decided. Why should I talk about God? I don't want to preach anymore. Because when I'm preaching, my enemies, they are trying to kill me. They are trying to destroy me. I should shut my mouth, and I will be safe. How many people come to the ministry, and when the trouble comes, they run away? Why? Because they don't have calling from God. The Bible says some of them are serving the Lord because of their belly. A belly is their God. I'm not serving, I'm talking about me, I'm not serving for my belly. God is supplying my need. I go to church and preach, and they give the money, I give it back to them. I say, sir, maybe you need it more than I need. So the point I'm making, if you are called by God, You are not looking for promotion. You are not looking for money. You are not looking for fame. You are not looking for respect. You are going to do it because God has called you to do the job. Jeremiah thought, I didn't want to do it. God is forcing me to do it. So that's why I'm doing it. And that's the bad and wrong attitude. Read that ninth verse one more time.
Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay.
Now here he's saying, I don't want to speak. But God put that word in my mouth and my heart. Now it's went to my bone and like a fire burning. So even though I don't want to say it, it's coming out of me. The word of God is so powerful, I cannot stop it. So even though I don't want to do it, God is doing through me. Because God is greater than us. We thinking that we can blame God and we can say, Lord, I don't want to do it. God can use the donkey. You remember? God used the donkey to preach to the prophet. If the prophet's mind is not right, God says, I can use the donkey. The people say, Jesus, tell these people to stop. What Jesus says? If I tell them to stop, not to say Hosanna, the stone will cry out. God can use stone. God can use donkey. Sometimes people say, oh, I am a great minister. Without me, church will not run. The whole world will not run. I am the one. Many people die. The world is still running. God is the one in charge of everything. You never blame God. Anything happens, say, thank you, Jesus. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. St. John chapter 10, verse 10. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. When the trouble comes, don't blame God. Blame devil. God always there for you. Okay, verse 10.
For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten.
Now here he is saying good things. He says, I know these people are against me. They want to kill me. They want to destroy me. But the Lord is mightier than these people. God will protect me, and I will not have any problem because God's protection is with me. Now, sometimes when you are down, spiritually down, you think negative. But when you start praising God and glorifying God and say, thank you, Jesus, whatever happened, happened, but you are a greatest one. He gives you grace, and you start thanking. But again, when you are prayer time and church time and you are so happy and you forget your enemy, as soon as you're coming out of the church and you see your enemy, aha, this is the man or this is the person. So you forgot all the praising and all the glory and everything what you said about God, you forget within a split second when you see negative thing happens to you. Now he's saying something good, what God is good. And he is protecting me, he is greater than my enemy, and he is good God. Let's read the verse 12.
But, O Lord of hosts, that trieth the righteous and seest the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers.
Now here it is saying, Lord, you are good. You destroy them, take revenge. And let those people be destroyed. But I am going to praise the Lord. I'm going to glorify God. You are good God. He's saying everything good that what God can do for him. And let's read the verse 14.
Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide.
Can you imagine what he's saying? This is the man thanking God and praising God and doing everything. All of a sudden, the enemy comes and say, hey, God let you down. You were in the storm. That man beat you up. And you don't want to say anything, but you keep on doing it. Why are you doing it? Somebody is going to do something wrong to you. What should happen to you? You should die. How many times enemy comes to tell you to kill yourself? As so many people. Their thought comes to their mind. I don't want to live in this world. It's too much trouble. I want to die. So this Jeremiah said so many good things. And now all of a sudden he said, you know what? My mother became pregnant. That was a problem. And then when I was in my mom's belly, she gave me the birth. But the man who told this good news to my father, and my father was happy, that man might be cursed. Can you imagine how foolish he is talking? He is cursing his birth. He's cursing when somebody gave the good news to his father. And he's saying that man should be cursed in such a way that one city or one village will be taken by the enemy, and how disaster comes. That's the way disaster should come to him or his family. He should be destroyed. That is the foolish thing people say for no reason. Can you imagine? That person, whoever gave the good news that Jeremiah is born, he's cursing that man. He never even saw that man. He doesn't know that man is alive or dead. But he is just saying it's something. Why I was born? The same thing happened to whom? Job. When it happened, he started cursing his birth. He started cursing birth rate. He started cursing the same man who got the good news. He heard from Job. And now he's thinking, I'm like a Job. Let me talk like Job. So I will feel like I'm a Job. So point I'm making, how foolishly people say the things which is not even right. This is a man of God. You're not supposed to curse somebody without a cause. He did not do anything to you. He mind his business. He made your daddy happy. And you're cursing that man? You're cursing his house? You're cursing his destruction? That's called foolishness. Foolish person bring all foolish things from his mouth. Okay. Verse 17.
Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me.
Now here he's talking. When you say, because he should have slew me, he did not slew me. Who? Somebody said, the man who was giving good news to somebody? No. He's talking to God. Hey God, why didn't you kill me in my mother's womb? And my mother's womb should be a grave for me. Means I supposed to be still born. Why I was born into this world? And why you kept me alive? He's saying, you kept me alive because I have to do labor and hard work and all these sorrows and sufferings and everything. That's the reason you gave me birth? Okay, read. Please read.
Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame.
So he says, Lord, what you have done? You allow my mother to have all 9 months or 10 months, full pregnancy. She gave the birth, and the man gave the news to somebody. All these things are, I don't want to hear. People should be thankful. If you say why I was born, just think. If you are born a healthy person, you have two eyes, your heart is working properly, your hand and feet and everything, no deformity, and then you don't have a job or something, and you start cursing God, why I was born in my mother's womb, somebody would have said to that man, let me tell you, if you would have born blind, if you would have born with a defective heart, if you would have born a lame man, you have all the health and everything, but you are lazy, you don't want to work, you don't want to do anything, and you're blaming God. And these people go and rob people and do wrong thing, and you know what it says? Oh, my parents. They didn't take care of me. That's why I'm here. Those are fools. They don't want to take the responsibility. Here the Jeremiah is saying, God made a mistake. God said, Jeremiah, you were in my heart. Before you were born, I chosen you before your mother was even pregnant. And I have ordained you. You are my servant. I'm going to use you. You're going to be a great man. You're going to root out and you're going to plant good things and bad things, you're going to take it out. But if you're afraid and you don't do it, same thing can happen to you. Jeremiah is forgetting and blaming God. That's where the problem comes. When the people, they get everything going dandy, they don't even say anything to God. But the problem comes, then they start blaming God for nothing. This is the pattern people are taking. Now, this Jeremiah should not be going back to Job and reading the book of Job. Let me see what happened to Job. When the people having problem, you know what they do? Go and read the book of Job. I said, that's a foolish thing. When you have problem, you're reading the book of Job, you get more problem, and you do act like a Job. You don't know until the last chapter you read. So when you are having problem, you just read the words which can encourage you. The God's promises for you. That's why somebody made the God's promises book. Read the God's promises. Read the God's goodness. Don't go to the person who is having problem. If somebody comes to you, could you please pray for me? And say, what's your problem? Oh, I have this problem, that problem. Oh, let me tell you my problem. And you start telling your problem to that person. Is that going to help that person? And so we are in the same boat. You have to tell that person, my God is greater. You don't tell your problems. What God said to Job? Job, you go and pray for those people. He didn't say, Lord, I am still scratching. I still have a problem. How can I go and tell? And those people are making fun of me. What I'm going to tell these people? God did not tell him, if you pray, I will heal you. He would have been running. God didn't say anything. God said, go and pray for them. And God tell those people before Job could know. God said to those people, listen, you go to Job and you take a sacrifice, he will pray for you. And here God is saying to Job, you pray for them. You don't know God's mind, what God does. You have to tell goodness of God. You never tell your problem to somebody. You tell your problem to God. If you start telling your problem to somebody, and you are a Christian, you are telling this, and somebody says, oh, your God doesn't heal you. Your God doesn't take care of you. Why are you worshiping that God? Hey, I never thought of that. Let me give up on that God. Is there any God? Somebody can help me. And that's the way the Israeli people did. Went after foreign God. If somebody comes to me and tell me there is another God better than Jesus, what I'm going to say? There is none like Jesus, and all other gods are false. They cannot help me, and they will not help you. And you tell good things what God has done to other people. Never tell bad thing happened to you. If you want to say bad thing happened, something, I was in this sickness and God healed me. But if you say, I had this sickness, and I prayed and prayed, and nothing happens. Finally went to hospital, and then it became better. What message you giving to people? You are telling God is not better, medicine is better. You never say that our God has no power. There is a story in the Bible. You know that lady, issue of blood. How many years? 12 years. How many doctors she went? Many doctors. Did she get better? Worse. Did she spend all the money? Yes. Said all the money she spent, all the doctors she went, they did not make her better. They made her worse. She came to Jesus. Touch his garment. Instantly got healed. Now Jeremiah, he's a servant of God. And little bit problem came. He thought it's the end of the world. I'm going to die. I don't want to speak about God. I don't want to preach. But something keep on coming out of my heart. Now he said, I'm going to blame God. I'm going to blame the person who got the good news. I wanted to die in my mother's womb. Thank God we are alive. Thank God that our hands and feet and our body is working. We should be grateful to God. God is the source of all our supplies. Okay, let's go to another chapter, Jeremiah chapter 21, starting from verse 1.
The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur the son of Malchiah, and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, saying, Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us.
Now here, the king is talking to the priest. He says, tell Jeremiah. Ask Jeremiah a question. Jeremiah told you that the enemy will come, the king will be captured, and priest will be captured, and they will go to the foreign land. Could you ask Jeremiah? He's a servant of God. He could pray to God, and he could give us a good news that the enemy will come, but God can do some miracles. He did before. He can do miracle and push those enemy back. That's what I want to hear from Jeremiah. Could you ask him? And so he asked the Jeremiah the question. See what Jeremiah is saying. Verse 3.
Then said Jeremiah unto them, Thus shall you say to Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon, and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of the city.
He's asking, tell the Lord, do some miracles, and take this enemy back, or defeat them. He said, no. You know what's going to happen? You are thinking up to now, he's talking about the king of Judah, you are strong, you have the weapons of warfare, you can defeat the enemies. That's what you're thinking. But what God is doing, God is going to defeat you. Your weapons will not work because sometimes, you know, people get rich. They say, hey, who cares? I can sue this person, I can sue that person, I can do this. If I need this, I can do this. Means they have lots of pride of their money. I have a good car and I have a good house and I have this and I have that. Nobody has this and nobody can do anything wrong to me. I'm a greater than anybody. He said, hey, your strength, your power, your army, your weapons, and your stuff will not be helpful to you. I'm going to take it away from you and the enemy will defeat you. Let's read the verse 5.
And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterward, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, and such as are left in the city from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity nor have mercy.
God is saying through Jeremiah, he said, listen, God is going to fight against you. God will be in the midst of your city. He will fight against you. Your people, your animal, and everything will be destroyed. And nobody will be able to save you. Can you imagine? If God is against you, who can save you? Up to now, God gave them warning after warning after warning. You don't listen to my warning. Don't think that the enemies are coming themselves. I have told them to come. I will fight just like the enemy is fighting, but I am fighting. And I will destroy all of you. And this king will come, take everything from your treasury, from your house, your storage, your money, your people, everything. And everything will be destroyed. So he is trying to say, hey, Jeremiah, we are telling you to do something good, prophecy, good thing, but you are telling more problem to us and more destruction to us. And Jeremiah didn't want to say this because Jeremiah said, when I say something, they are going to kill me. But God is inspiring him, and Jeremiah cannot control because God's word is coming powerfully and God is speaking through Jeremiah. Jeremiah doesn't know what he is doing because God is speaking through him and he is putting all the fears and all the danger. And he says, God says, I will not have pity nor I have mercy on these people. So God says, I washed my hand. Last time he says, I will go away and I will turn my back to you. When the God is not with you, you are in miserable condition. But when you are a child of God, when the trouble comes around, God is always there watching over you. You remember sometime your child cries, and nowadays we are with advanced technology. You put the monitor and child is crying and you watch what he's doing. And if the child is already fed and everything, and child is still crying, why? Child wants somebody to take him because they want comfort. And you let them sit, watch, and they cry and cry and cry. That's the way God does. God is watching how you behave. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. But sometimes when we have trouble, we say, where are you, God? That's just like God disappear. God is always there. God is everywhere. Okay, let's read the verse 8.
And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death.
Now God is saying, listen, I give you one more chance. Here is the life, here is the death. So, if you want to be alive and not to get killed, do something. Now, if somebody hears the message of Jeremiah, it will sound like a foolish thing. What Jeremiah is saying means God is saying through him, if you want to be alive, then go to Babylon. Go to captivity. I will not kill you. And I will not allow these people to kill you in Babylon. There is a safety because I am going to teach you a lesson. But if you rebel against the king Nebuchadnezzar, you will die. So now don't fight against God. I'm fighting with you. The armies are fighting with you. You just pack your bag and go to Babylon. I will protect you there. Somebody will say, Jeremiah, something is wrong with him. How can he say to go to enemy's territory? How can he is praising enemies, telling us if you want to be alive, go to enemy's territory? That's why they didn't understand the plan of God. They didn't understand what Jeremiah was saying. Okay, let's read the verse 9.
He that abideth in the city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey.
See, here he's saying, listen to me. Go to Babylon. Don't stay in this city. If you stay, you're going to die. If you go there, I will protect you. Okay, verse 10.
For I have set my face against the city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire.
Now here he's saying, I have already given this city to the enemies. They are going to destroy this. They are going to put a fire in there. You people are going to burn. Sword, famine, and disease. Now fourth thing he is saying, now I'm going to set a fire. This enemy will come and burn your forest, and that fire will keep on coming to your houses. If God is not with you, you can have a fire department, you can have all the facilities, but your house is not protected by God, that house is going to burn down. You remember one day I told you the story? The fire started in the row house in one end and came up to this house, jumped from this house and burned all other houses. And one house in the middle was standing. Somebody says, hey, what happened to you? Why your house is not burned down? Maybe they thought to be electronically, they push the button and all the houses burn and that house is remaining. Says, sir, I serve the Lord. I'm a God's child. God did not allow me to burn with the unsaved people. That's what happened. Sometimes I've seen when this fire comes, one house is standing and all other houses are burned. Why? Because God will protect you. And here the God is saying, now I left you. No pity, no mercy. God says, I'm going to fight against you, and the enemy come and will burn your house down. Okay, verse 11.
And touching the house of the king of Judah, say, hear ye the word of the Lord. O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. Let my fury go out like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings.
Again he is giving another chance. The kings, do right things. Do right judgment. Don't do evil things. Change your mind. Change your heart. Otherwise these things are going to come. They would have said, Lord, enough is enough. I heard enough. We don't want to do anything. Let's repent. Let's fall on God's feet and let's pray. But those people are so stubborn. They didn't want to hear anything. What God says, if you don't do what he says, something is going to happen for sure. Verse 13.
Behold, I am against, O inhabitant of the valley, and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitations? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it.
Now these people are saying, they are thinking, oh, we have the beautiful walls and the fortress and all these armies, and we can hide ourselves and enemy cannot do anything. He said, listen, wherever you are hiding, I'll kindle the fire in the forest. That fire will burn and come to the cities, and everything will be burned down. If you're not listening, I already gave the warning. And if you don't listen, everything will burn down. Go. Hide yourself in the Babylon. I will not allow them to kill. But if anybody remaining from the sickness, from the sword, or from the famine, then I will destroy you with the fire. And that's the warning God gave it to the children of Israel. Every time you see warning God gives And the same time God tells them, I want to save you. I want to protect you. Hear my voice. People listen the message of God many, many, many times. Sometimes they take the Bible and the word comes right talking to them. They close the Bible or they say this is the wrong chapter. God is always speaking to people through the word of God, through the prophet, through somebody, or you can hear the voice of God. But how many people are listening? They do not want to listen to the word of God. And when the problem comes, they say, why me, Lord? Why this happened? God says, how long I'm telling this? You don't listen. Let's pray and say, Lord, we don't want to be stubborn like the children of Israel. We want to humble ourselves. If there is any sin, just like David says, if there is anything wrong in me, search me, find out, and I'll repent. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Let the whole world see Jesus in me, and let my life be a pleasing in the sight of God. Father, give us grace. As long as we live in this world, we don't want to blame God. We don't want to go against God. We want to be always in God's sight and God's hand. And you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will always be there for us. Let us understand that our God is greater than anything. Our God is all sufficient. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.